Okay, I'm ready. Watch your breath. Come to the golden room. Look out the window, the sky, blue sky. Watch any tension in your face, corners of your mouth, forehead, and especially the tops of your eyelids, the upper part of your eyelids. Watch the mountains, watch the valley. Come back to the golden room. Sit with your teacher. Their hands are on your hand. Their hands are touching your hand. Try to feel a sense of not, sense of contentment for being there. That you don't need to go anywhere else. You have nothing else to do. Just be happy being there with their hands on your head. Relax, breathe slower. Just their hands on you, the only meditation object. And slowly bring your mind back to this room. Then you can open your eyes. So, we're almost to the top of the chart. We have gotten Samsa Chitta Chepa, which means single pointed mind. The elephant is all white now. There's no dullness. There's no agitation. There's good and mar. Okay. And then at scene number 28, you see level 9, and it's Nyamba Jopa. Again, Nyamba means equals, sama. And then D means to think. Probably the word think came from D. So samadhi. Traditionally, samadhi, or you could say sitting in equilibrium, you could call the sama equilibrium, is a state between, it's a natural state between the two extremes of the driving wheel, the steering wheel, okay? You are threading a very effortless path down the middle of the two extremes of dullness and agitation, okay? And then he says, this is Dur Sam Tse Chiktu. Say Dur Sam Tse Chikpe Shine Jitumba. And we'll talk about that. I like that thing the Joker does. And it's achieved by the way, the elephant is lying down, okay? The elephant has been controlled completely. Who's the elephant? By himself. The elephant is your own mind, okay? So he's like, the mind is his servant now, okay? And our minds tend to control us, and at level number 9, samadhi, you are controlling the mind, okay? The mind's at your beck and call. And I think as you meditated, you got the feeling of what it was like, how fast the mind moves. I don't know if you've come across that yet, but it's instant by instant. It moves like lightning, you know. And you see it go off the object, and then you bring it back on the object, and it all takes place in an instant, you know. And then 30 seconds later, it's off again. And so you think you have to get used to moving fast inside your mind. I don't know if an elephant is so good. I think more like a bird or something. It moves very fast. Or if you've ever tried to catch a lizard with your hands, and they move, and they even look like this, you know, and the mind is like that, okay? What I thought I would do is, you know, this is level 9, and there's still some things going on up here, okay, after level 9. So I thought we could go there today and start working on what happens after level 9, okay? So, here we go. It's significant that the text calls it Dursem. Dursem means, as we said yesterday, a state of mind which is still in the desire realm. So Buddhism talks about, and also Hinduism, but they talk about three realms, right? Three loka, the three realms. And in a very minor sense, it refers to above the earth, meaning birds, on the earth, meaning animals, and below the earth or below the sea, meaning fish or groundhogs. That's not what they mean here, okay? That's not Triloka here. Triloka here, there's a causal Triloka, And there's a resulting Triloka. There's three realms of cause, and there's three realms of result. So you have to get used to that idea. The three classical realms are Dukkham, Sukham, Sumekham. Dukkham means desire realm. Sukham means form realm, Rupa Dhatu. And then Sumekham means formless realm. Okay. When you speak of these three as results, okay, when you speak of these three realms as results, the desire realm is this world that we're in now. And most of us have never seen the other two realms, okay? They exist, what do you call them? Supposedly the form realm is higher than this realm physically. A lot of people would say it's just a parallel universe, it's going on parallel to this realm. And then the formless realm has no gross form, no gross physical matter. And what they're characterized like this, Dukkham, as I said yesterday, the first Dalai Lama describes it as desire for food and sex, mainly. So this is a realm where many people's primary motivation is food, sex. I guess you should add television now. I see these incredible numbers, like that people spend an average of 6 hours on TV, or children spend an average of 8 hours texting, and I can't believe it. I can't imagine it. Because if they throw us in, that means the other people are doing like 16 hours or something. I don't know. But it's mainly a realm where we are focused on desire for lower pleasures, all right? And that's what characterizes our realm. There's a higher realm called the form realm. And that's like when you read in Greek mythology of a Greek paradise or something, and there's, what do you call it, Jove? No, I don't know. These Greek gods, you know. You saw the movie, right? And they're all like very powerful, bickering beings, and they have special powers, and they live very long lives, and that's called a form realm. Okay, why is it called form realm? Because their bodies are extraordinary. Their forms are very beautiful, and that realm is distinguished by the beauty of their forms and their world, which we would almost consider a paradise. Okay. Or in Indra, or you know, people, I don't know, Brahma, like that. This is where these people stay. And then the formless realm is mainly the people there, they exist, their bodies are a very, very subtle form of prana or something. They don't have any physical, visible bodies. Not gross physical. They have very, very subtle physical bodies, which you can't see. And then they just exist as mind. They're just mental beings. Okay. So that realm is said to have no physical location. It's said that if you died in the desire realm today, sitting in this room, your mind would enter the formless realm just there. Yeah, so there's no bardo. There's no spirit being between dying here and going to the formless realm. Because the function of a bardo is like a spirit being, okay? Bar means in between, bardo. In between your death and your rebirth. So traditionally they say that you become, after you die in this realm, you become a spirit being. And then that being has special abilities to travel fantastic distances at faster than the speed of light, okay? So that at the speed of thought, that being can travel distances, which traditionally is supposed to explain why, well, it does explain why you could be born on another planet, okay? So die in this realm, you become a bardo, a spirit being, and then at the speed of thought, you can arrive on another planet and be born there. Okay? So there's no bardo for someone entering the formless realm because they don't have anywhere to go. You just die here and you enter the formless realm here. So those are the... And the form and formless realms are said to be realms of complacency. You are powerful, you are beautiful, nothing ever goes wrong much. And you could say almost like a worldly god. Okay. And the lifespans there are very long. Okay. And then there's this poignant description of the final weeks of a person in the form or formless realm, that their karma begins to wear out, and then they have a premonition of their death. They see their coming death, and then their body for the first time produces sweat, perspiration. They start to smell like they've never even had to bathe, because they have these golden, perfect bodies. And then the body starts to deteriorate, and it starts to smell bad. And then and they start to lose their radiance. And then the other beings there are, repulsed by their appearance. And then there's this sad description of what it's like to be a being who has lived in a paradise for 10,000 years, and then the last few weeks, your friends, all these other pleasure beings, they're just having a good time, you know? And then you are suddenly not very attractive, and they just don't want to be around you. And everyone, they shun you. And then they say that the suffering of those few weeks is equal to the pleasure of the 10,000 years. After 10,000 years to be rejected by the other pleasure seekers in your realm. And then they die. And then they say that because you have used up your debit card in the 10,000 years of pleasure, that those beings almost invariably go to a lower realm. Okay. And we learned with Nick yesterday that go to a lower realm is a misnomer, right? We learned yesterday that you don't go to a lower realm. Your perceptions shift slightly. Your mental seeds shift slightly, you know? In other words, for a person who understands emptiness, they can appreciate the teaching on rebirth, because they understand that it's not really the case that you die and go somewhere. It's just that the seeds in your mind shift slightly. You know? And to say that that's not possible, or that's weird, or then that's as weird as to say there's no death, you see? Because the shift from living to dead, the shift from having consciousness to not having consciousness, that's about as radical a shift as the mind can do. To go from mind to no mind is the most radical shift. We're not talking you see things differently. We're talking the very seeds for consciousness stop, wear out, and then you're not conscious, okay? You die. So to say that the mind could go from awareness to non-awareness, then everything between can happen, okay? You can go from pleasantly warm to too hot. You can go from healthy to a sniveling mess. You can go from, you know, everyone smiling at you to suddenly everyone hates you, you know. These are just shifts of the seeds, and they happen to everybody. So it's not a big deal that your seeds could shift after some trauma, you know, after being hit by a car or something, and then your seeds would shift and you would see things completely different. Okay? So it's not a stretch for a person who understands emptiness to be concerned strongly about the extraordinary shifts that the mind can make in a negative sense. You see, you could go to a hell realm in 10 seconds. It's not impossible. If you understand emptiness, it's not at all impossible because you're not going to a hell realm. Your seeds are shifting, and they've been shifting your whole life, and it's just a bigger shift. In a positive sense, you can use that phenomenon to become a Buddha, okay, an enlightened being. You can also shift the other way. You could have a radical shift out of this reality into a reality where you are the Buddha of a planet. You know, you are the savior of a planet. You could also have that shift. That's the shift we're trying to trigger with our meditation. Okay. So those are the three realms: desire realm, form realm, formless realm. Now, there are certain seeds which get you into those three realms. Okay, there are certain mental seeds you have to plant to get into those three realms. Then we talk about the causal three realms. Okay. The causal three realms. So don't be confused. In scripture, it's confusing. It took me a long time. Geshe, there was a Geshe Gelden, which is a corruption of Gelden, a Mongol. He taught me this. It was very beautiful. So don't be confused between the three realms as causal and the three realms as resultant. We just described the three realms as resultant. To get into those three realms, you have to be in a certain state of mind for much of your current life. To go to one of those three realms after you die, right? Or so what shall we say? To project those three realms after you die. There are certain causes or states of mind you have to be in habitually in this life. Okay, what are they? For the desire realm, you just have to be who you are. You know, just the normal distracted mind will throw you into the desire realm. All right. Don't forget, desire realm doesn't just mean humans. It also means hell beings, insects, like that. Okay. So, desire realm. By the way, they say desire realm is the best place to be born for a spiritual practitioner because of the desirable mix of pain and pleasure. Okay, so you have enough pleasure not to be in pain all the time, not to be mindless with pain. And then you have enough pain that it's not like the form realm where you're just hanging out in a paradise until you start to smell. Okay, they say the desire realm is desirable for our spiritual practice. Okay, so anyway. Just to keep a normal state of mind would get you into the desire realm after you die. And again, get in is a deceptive word to use, right? We should say living in having a state of mind that we have now, you know, mostly focused on food or success or fame or money or sex. These states of mind will cause you to see a desire realm in the way you see a pen or a chew toy, right? It's the same. They will cause you to see your world as a desire realm. Then the form realm, if you wanted to get to a form realm, if you wanted to be Indra or Shiva or Brahma or somebody like that, you can get there by spending much of your current life in deep states of meditation, okay? In very, very deep states of meditation. And that's called Samtengidomba, okay? Samtengidomba. Samtengidhyana samaya, okay? Samtengidomba means, domba means vow, but it also means self-control, like yama, okay? Yama and niyama. So Domba means vow or self-control. Samten means deep meditation, dhyana. So dhyana samvara or dhyana samaya, these would mean, it's very funny, if you spend a lot of time meditating
in this realm, you can project a form realm after you die, because during the act of meditation, you can't do all the naughty things you usually do. Okay? Okay? You can't lie to somebody when you're in a deep state of meditation. You can't wish that someone would fall off a truck. Your ex-boyfriend, while your mind is in deep meditation. You see? You can't steal something when your mind is in deep meditation. So it's, you could call it default, right? Default goodness, all right? Like, you just don't have time to do all your normal small bad deeds. Your normal flow of small, constant bad deeds, which are mostly mental, you know, like, I really wish that the lady who... I hope she slips on the ice or something like that, you know, like just little things that fly through your mind. You know, of course we wouldn't want her to slip on the ice, but the thought does fly through your mind sometimes. Okay? Then when you're in a state of deep meditation, you can't have those thoughts. And so by default, you don't collect the bad karma that you normally would. And then you can go to a form realm. Okay? You can project a form realm after you die. And then formless realm would require even deeper concentration. Okay. So the three realms as causes are normal state of mind, pretty deep meditation, and extremely deep meditation. The three realms as results are the world you know, a temporary paradisical realm, and then a realm where the beings only have minds, okay, only live in their minds, as minds. Why are we talking about this? Level 9. Okay? Level 9 is still a state of mind that would throw, which would project a desire realm after you died. It's still dusam. It's still a state of mind which is not even deep enough yet to throw you into a paradise after you die. Okay? Which implies that there are about 8 levels of meditation higher. There are 8 higher levels of meditation, okay? But we get off here and use the meditation to go see emptiness, okay? We get off here, all right? We don't, well, just about here. We get off at 9 plus, okay? But we don't go up to 17, all right? So there are deeper meditations you can do, deeper in the sense that you would be even more uncheckable. They could put McDonald's French fries and a Big Mac. Not just the French fries, but with the Big Mac and an apple fritter pie under your nose, and you would be oblivious, okay? You wouldn't smell anything. Your concentration would be so good. And then they could play Jimi Hendrix, you know, in your iPod thing. At full volume, with the Apple earphones, which are really good, right? And you wouldn't hear anything, okay? They could tune it up all the way and put it in your ears, and you wouldn't hear anything. That's how deep the... There are places you can go, but they're not what we want, okay? That's just a bigger telescope on the gun, okay? That's a telescope that goes 5 miles or 10 miles. But the deer we want to shoot is right around. It's about 200 yards away. We don't need a telescope on our rifle that goes 20 miles, okay? Because what the deer we're after is right around us. It's like 100 yards away. And that's emptiness, okay? Like, all we want to do is get the mind calm enough to see emptiness. Seeing emptiness, they always compare it. I like that metaphor. It's like a moon reflecting on the water, okay? And if the lake water is rippling, then the moon is rippling, and you can't see it very clearly, okay? The idea is get the mind still enough, like still water, and then emptiness, which is the moon, can reflect in the water, and then you can see it clearly. Okay? So we just have to get up to a certain amount of... You can still see the moon if there's a cricket fell in the water and he's like doing this and this tiny little ripple, you know. like, it doesn't have to be completely motionless. You see, it's enough. You don't have to go higher in concentration.
Okay.
So this is still a state of mind in the desire realm. But when I say in the desire realm, you know I mean just as a cause, okay? In the desire realm doesn't mean you're sitting in the desire realm with that state of mind in your head. It doesn't mean that. When I say in the desire realm, referring to a state of meditation, you should automatically think, oh, he means a meditation which is deep enough or not so deep that it would keep me in the desire realm if I died. It would keep projecting desire realm if I died. So when I say your mind is still in the desire realm, I don't mean that you're sitting in this realm with a brain that's thinking like that. I mean, if you died at that moment, your mind would project a desire realm. Okay? So you have to be careful. When they call it desire realm state of meditation, they don't mean you're sitting in the desire realm. They mean if you died at that moment, that mind would project another desire realm. Okay? So I have a question for you, which you can nod or shake your head. Would it be possible to enter a form realm meditation with your body sitting in the desire realm? Yeah. So could we loosely say you would be sitting in the desire realm and you would be in the form realm? You could say that, okay? Meaning your state of mind was such that if you died at that moment, you would project a form realm, okay? Like that. And to be more accurate, I'd have to say it's not just the state of mind you have at the moment of death, okay? It's like, where did you spend most of your time? You know, so people born in the form realm are by definition people who spend over half their time in their life in deep meditation. They spend over half the hours of their life in deep meditation. Okay. So you can guess how many people on this planet are going to a form realm. Okay. It's like, I don't know, 0 or 10 or I don't know. That we always think there must be somebody somewhere. And they think we're here doing it also. Okay? We think there's somebody in India, probably up near Rishikesh, who's meditating enough to get to the form realm. And they think somebody over in America is some Buddhist group must be doing it. So let's try. Let's meditate.
Watch your breath, please. What I find easiest watching the breath is to pick a tiny point in the tip of my nostrils and just observe the feeling, the sort of the cool feeling of breath touching that little patch of skin. And then that becomes my single point. I find it distracting to try to watch the whole breath in and out. I just try to focus on a tiny patch of skin at the tip of the nostril, which is alternately cooled and heated by the passage of breath. In general, in meditation, the smaller you can make the physical object or the mental object, the better the concentration. So you could start out with a half-inch patch of the inside of your nostril, and you could go to a quarter-inch, and then go to a pin, a needle tip patch of skin, and then that will help your concentration. come to the golden room. Deep, liquid, orangish, warm, shining gold color flowing in through the window and making all the objects in the room like giving them a golden cast. Stay with that golden color. Stay with that golden light. Again, try to call up a feeling of ngar, even now before your lama comes. Try to feel that you are totally contented in the room. The room is so beautiful, and the anticipation of your teacher coming is so sweet, and you don't really have any other hope in the world but to stay in that golden room. So enjoy deeply and be deeply contented with the gold, the room of golden light. Look at the blue of the sky. Try to bring up ngar. Bypass dullness and agitation by going straight to ngar. Enjoy the sky. Feel contented with the sky, the beauty of the sky. Then bring your mind down to the mountains and the valley.
And then bring your mind back to the golden room. Ask your teacher to come to the room. And look on your teacher. Look on your teacher's face. And the face is covered in the same golden light. Stay there with their face. Try to feel contentment. You can come back to this room. Slowly open your eyes. So, next time we'll cover the... I don't know, then he gets to ride on the elephant. Okay? And then he doesn't need to ride, he can fly. Alright? So that's coming. Alright?
Okay. Sarvam yeshe vejo mahe.